Chapter 19.
I wish he didn't live on top of a mountain, Julian complained to anyone who was listening. His thighs burned with each forced step. It'd be faster if I conjured up some horses.
Save your spells, Tim said without turning around. We don't want to get there fast.
The pace he was keeping suggested otherwise. If he felt any burning in his little thighs, he wasn't bothered about it.
We want to strike during the day, catch that bastard by surprise when he's at his weakest.
Tim's estimate of how long it would take to reach the fort turned out to be wrong. Though they were uninterrupted by dire badgers, giant squirrels, or whatever other ridiculous creatures which might inhabit the mountain, Dave simply couldn't keep the pace. It wasn't his fault. He just wasn't built for speed. Huffing and puffing as he marched in his armor, he reminded Julian of a World War I tank. He wasn't something you'd necessarily want to face in combat, but at the same time, he looked as though he could fall apart at any moment. When they finally reached the summit, Julian leaned back against the rock wall. He peeked his head over the top to check for zombies. A few of them were stumbling around, but they were pretty far off and shouldn't be too much bother. Beyond them, Julian saw the sun, almost touching the horizon.
We're too late!
Like hell we are, said Tim. It's still light out. We can make it if we go now.
No, panted Dave. Don't forget, we still have to get past those two gorillas at the front door.
Cooper grabbed Tim by the arm.
The hell with them, said Tim, making a show of trying to get free. I'll kill them too.
This was not the plan, said Stuart.
Fuck the plan.
Stuart's right, said Dave. Millard's our target. Any effort we waste on those two is going to make our chances of taking down a vampire even worse than it already is.
But
listen,
Dave insisted.
He doesn't even know that we know about Catherine. He may just let us inside without a struggle. You know, tell us some bullshit about how she's not feeling well or something, and would we mind coming back at another time?
Tim stopped struggling and shrugged his arm. Cooper let go.
Keep talking.
We'll get in there, said Dave, alone with Millard. Get Cooper's stake ready, surround the fucker, and strike when it best suits us.
Tim nodded.
You just keep your mouth shut and let Julian do all the talking.
Tim stepped aside and gestured for Julian to lead the way. Julian swallowed hard. His charisma score made him the natural choice to be the face of the party, but he hated being in a position of leadership. This was a particularly sticky situation. He barely knew Tim in the real world. It wasn't his place to lead his sister's murder vengeance. What if he screwed up? All their lives were on the line.
Julian,
said Tim.
Huh?
Are you up for this?
Tim's eyes were pink and watery.
Yeah, said Julian. Of course. But listen, you guys have got to keep your shit together. We can't take those two door guards. And once they disarm us, all we've got going for us is a wooden stick up Cooper's ass. We have to play this cool. We're just here for a routine visit, right?
Cooper, Dave, and Stuart nodded. Tim closed his eyes.
Tim,
said Julian. Tim nodded. Julian took a deep breath and stepped out into the open, and the others filed in behind him. As expected, Horace and Boris stood at the front entrance of the fort like two massive iron statues. An occasional blink was the only sign they gave that they were alive.
Evening, gentlemen,
Julian called out as cheerfully as he could.
How goes the watch?
Horace curled up one side of his upper lip, exposing his brown teeth. Boris spit on the ground. It landed among a multitude of other spit puddles in a semicircular pattern radiating about 3 feet from his boots. Julian stopped his advance a solid few inches before the arc of spittle. Never so clearly defined was the border of a person's personal space. He forced his lips into a wide smile.
We seek audience with the lady of the house. I present to you my weapons so that you may keep it safe during our visit.
He held his quarterstaff in front of him sideways, resting on his palms.
The master still sleeps,
said Horace.
You'll have to come back later.
Boris spit on the ground again. Julian looked west. The sun was naught but a sliver of red on a rocky gray horizon. He turned to the group in the hope that one of them would suggest a next course of action. Tim stood hidden behind Cooper. Dave shrugged. Cooper picked his nose.
Allow me, said Stuart.
He stepped forward, removing the hood from his smooth, bald head. He raised his arms out to the side in an exaggerated gesture of peace.
Good sirs, we are but humble travelers. I beseech thee to reconsider.
As soon as Stuart stepped over the spit threshold, Boris moved like a viper. He grabbed Stuart by the shoulders and put an armored knee in his junk.
Ooh,
said Cooper, wincing.
Right in the chakras.
Julian stepped back, his hands tightening around his quarterstaff. Horace's face caught his eye. His eyebrows were raised, and his smile revealed more of his brown teeth. Why was he smiling?
Julian, shouted Dave. What are you doing?
Huh? Said Julian. Horace's eyes were on his quarterstaff. It occurred to Julian that the way he was holding it might be mistaken for aggression.
Wait, said Julian. No, you don't think I was...
He stumbled on some rocks as he continued his slow, backward retreat. Horace began to unsheathe his sword, and the echo of steel sliding against leather meant that Boris was doing the same thing.
Hold on now, guys. I wasn't...
It was too late. Cooper was unstrapping his axe, and Dave was readying his bow. Julian couldn't see Tim, and Stuart was still rolling on the ground, cradling his nuts. He'd fucked it all up, and now they were going to die before they even got a chance to see the vampire.
Been a while since we killed us an elf,
said Horace.
Eh, Boris?
Boris spit on the ground.
Must be going on weeks.
You've got the wrong idea,
said Julian, holding his stick out in front of him. The rational part of his brain told him to drop it. This was all a misunderstanding, after all. There's no way the hulking giant wielding the sharpened steel fence post could misinterpret that. The panic stupidity center of his brain, however, was way more active at present and told him to hold onto that stick like it was the rope leading out of hell.
Can't remember the last time an elf raised a weapon at me,
said Horace. He raised his sword.
I gots to tell you, I'm really gonna enjoy this.
No!
Shouted Cooper. He stepped between Horace and Julian and swung his great axe. With all the passion of a supermarket checkout clerk, Horace stepped out of the way of the axe, twisted Cooper's arm behind his back with his free hand, and smashed the hilt of his sword into Cooper's face. Cooper fell to his knees, spitting blood through his hands.
My fucking teeth!
Cooper spat. Within the space of 1 second, Horace had disabled the party's strongest fighter, and his eyes had only briefly flickered away from Julian. What did this guy have against him? Maybe he just hates elves. Fucking racist. Horace continued his slow advance, and Julian braced himself for what he hoped would be a swift death.
Enough!
Millard's voice boomed down from atop the wall. Horace's face went from gleeful, murderous hate to annoyance, but he lowered his sword.
These men are my friends, Millard continued, and they shall be treated with every courtesy.
Millard's form was silhouetted against the purple evening sky. He stood alone. Julian looked back at Tim, and the kettle about to boil look on his face told Julian that this detail had not escaped Tim's notice. Julian shook his head slowly. Tim closed his eyes and inhaled.
Kindly relieve these gentlemen of their weapons and allow them inside.
And with that, Miller disappeared behind a crenellation.
No hard feelings, huh?
Said Dave as he handed over his mace and holy symbol. Boris took them, spat on the holy symbol, and tossed them in the weapons box. When the weapons were all safely boxed away, the red light descended through the crack between the doors. When it reached the bottom, Horace and Boris opened the doors.
Hey, guys,
said Catherine, standing alone in the doorway. She was dressed in a gray cotton turtleneck with pants to match. It was an odd look. She might have been going to the gym or to the library. Somehow, it suited her. An awkward moment of silence passed as everyone stood slack-jawed in the doorway.
What's up?
Cat,
said Tim. He ran up and hugged her around one leg, smearing tears and snot on her cotton pants.
Come on, guys,
said Julian, nudging the rest of the group through the doors which were still being held open by the impatient-looking psychopath guards.
What the hell, little brother?
Said Catherine. She looked uncomfortable as she patted his head. They were obviously not a very huggy family. When the doors were fully closed behind them, Dave spoke up.
We thought you were dead. We thought Millard killed you.
Ha, Catherine said. Millard's in love with me. He'd never kill me. He's done just the opposite, in fact.
Oh,
said Dave.
That's nice, I guess.
Wait a second, said Julian. Your character sheet said you were dead. We all saw it. And anyway, what does that even mean? What's the opposite of killing somebody? Not killing them?
He gave me eternal life.
Tim pushed away from his sister and looked up at her face.
Is this a Jesus thing?
Asked Cooper.
Because I don't wanna...
Shut up, Cooper, said Tim.
Okay.
Catherine, said Tim. Tell me you didn't.
I did.
Why would you? Said Tim. How could you? What were you thinking?
Good evening, gentlemen,
said Millard, suddenly appearing at the other end of the foyer.
Why, you creepy son of a whore, said Tim.
Cooper grabbed him before he even completed his first step. He clapped one hand over his mouth and held him up against his chest with the other arm. Cooper winced a bit as Tim bit his hand, but he didn't let go. He was careful to keep Tim's flailing legs away from his balls.
Said
Cooper.
What the fuck is going on?
Catherine's a vampire, said Dave.
Oh,
said Cooper.
Sweet.
I see you've already given away our little surprise,
said Millard. Catherine shrugged.
Sorry.
The little fellow seems to have gotten himself pretty worked up at the news.
Yeah, said Catherine. He's, thrilled.
Cooper lowered his head to Tim's ear.
Dude,
he whispered.
Chill the fuck out.
Tim stopped biting Cooper's hand and nodded his head. Cooper set him down. Tim spat out half-orc blood and filth and wiped his face with his sleeve. Cooper held up his bleeding hand to Dave. He was still bleeding out of his own mouth as well.
I'm gonna need your help when I get back.
Of course,
said Dave.
Hold on, said Julian. Back from where?
I've got to use the bathroom,
said Cooper.
If that's all right with you.
By all means, said Millard. You remember how to get there, I trust.
Yeah,
said Cooper.
Last door on the left.
Are you sure you need to go? Asked Julian.
I've got something inside me,
said Cooper impatiently.
That needs to come out.
Ew, said Catherine. We don't need a play-by-play. Just go do your business.
Julian rubbed his hands together. They might not have to follow through with the plan. If Cooper came back with a wooden stake in his hand, there would be no turning back.
Shouldn't we talk about it first?
Catherine and Millard stared at Julian. Tim, Dave, and Stuart stared down at their feet.
Cooper, said Catherine, go to the bathroom now.
Cooper ran down the hallway with his hands clapped over the back of his loincloth.
Your new friend's a fucking weirdo, Tim.
I didn't mean...
Julian stopped. It didn't matter. He walked over to where Tim, Dave, and Stuart were standing.
Do you mind if we have a word alone?
He asked Millard.
Be my guest, said Millard. Catherine, dear, why don't you help me in the kitchen? We can fetch some snacks for our visitors.
When Millard and Catherine had gone, Julian made his case.
Do you guys think we still need to go through with this?
He whispered.
Go through with what? Said Tim.
Killing Millard.
Fuck yes, said Tim. He killed my sister.
Well, he didn't really, said Julian. She doesn't look very dead to me.
He's right, said Dave. The situation has changed.
He's kept her here as a captive since we got into town. It's fucking Stockholm syndrome.
She seems pretty happy to me,
said Dave.
You know he's got her under some kind of vampire mind control. Maybe she was happy enough sleeping in a bed rather than on the floor of a bar, I'll grant you. But there's no way she would have chosen to become a vampire.
I think I remember her going through a goth phase at some point.
That was 10 fucking years ago.
Listen, said Julian. All I'm saying is that in light of these new developments, maybe we should give it some more thought. Talk about it some more, you know?
Tim angrily struggled for a counter-argument.
Damn it, Julian. Did you just use diplomacy on me?
Julian lowered his eyes.
Yes.
Fuck, said Tim. What do you guys think?
I agree with Julian, said Dave. It can't hurt to wait and talk about it some more.
Stuart?
She's your sister, man, said Stuart. It's your call.
Fuck, said Tim. Fine. I'll hold off until after dinner to make a decision.
If Cooper comes back in here waving a wooden stake around, there won't be any decision to make.
Tim took in a deep breath and then let it out slowly. He nodded his head in the direction of the hallway. Julian didn't need to be told twice. He ran off in search of Cooper. At the end of the hallway, he found the door he was looking for. He knocked. No answer.
Cooper?
He whispered. No answer. He pushed the door to see if it was locked and found that it opened easily. The bathroom was a cylindrical room made of cobblestone and mortar. A constant stream of water flowed in from somewhere outside through a hole in the wall up near the ceiling. It kept the floor wet and reasonably clean. It drained out through a hole in the center of the floor. Julian bent over and looked through the hole. Beneath what he sincerely hoped was a solidly constructed floor was wide open space. It might be 200 or 300 feet to the rocky earth below. He stepped back, though he didn't expect he'd be in danger of falling through the hole. He might be able to squeeze himself through if he were contemplating the most undignified suicide ever, but only just. He'd warn Tim. Tim could probably fall through if he wasn't careful. Cooper could never get through there, which begged the question, where the hell was Cooper?
Hey,
said a voice right behind him. Julian's heart just about exploded out of his chest as he whirled around. The wet floor was slippery and Julian lost his footing. Naturally, he fell straight into the drainage hole. His stomach seemed to stay exactly where it was while the rest of him dropped 3 feet. It wasn't as tight a squeeze as he'd imagined, and the tenuous grip he had on the floor with his elbows and forearms wasn't going to last long. When Julian's eyes were able to readjust after the drop, they homed in on the tip of a giant penis aimed at his face.
What? Said Julian.
Grab it, said the voice.
It was Cooper's voice.
I'll pull you up.
Beyond the penis was an arm, Cooper's arm. Julian took hold of the dildo stake, and Cooper pulled him out of the hole.
What the hell, man? Said Julian.
Sorry, dude,
said Cooper.
Didn't mean to scare you.
I could have died.
Cooper frowned.
I said I was sorry.
He looked pitiful with his missing teeth and his cheek bruised and beginning to swell. Disgusting as he was, it was hard to stay mad at him.
Where were you anyway? Asked Julian. Did you get lost again?
I was...
It doesn't matter. We don't have time. We've got to get that dildo back up your ass.
What?
Said Cooper.
Are you fucking kidding me? It's been up there all day. Do you know how uncomfortable that is? I only just took it out.
We're aborting the plan, said Julian. At least for now.
Cooper lowered his head.
That may be a problem.
Why?
I just pissed in Millard's coffin.
You did what?
Julian pulled on the ends of his giant elf ears.
Why would you do that? What the fuck were you thinking?
I thought if the fight didn't go our way, I'd give him something to remember us by.
Shit, said Julian. What are we going to do? I can't talk our way out of this. What kind of diplomacy role do I have to make to apologize for my friend pissing in a guy's coffin?
Maybe tell him it's a sign of respect in orcish culture.
He'll never buy that.
He might.
He's not fucking retarded.
That's it,
said Cooper.
Tell him I'm retarded.
I don't think anyone fucking questions that.
Hey man, I have feelings, you know.
Julian wanted nothing more than to take that dildo out of Cooper's hand and club him with it. Cooper looked back at him with pouty, bleeding lips and watery eyes. Snot trickled out of his nostrils. Julian gave up.
I'm sorry, Cooper.
It's okay.
I've got to think. We've got to get this steak back up your ass.
I'm really tender down there.
Julian sighed.
Hey, I think I've got something that might help. Did you wash that?
I rinsed it in the bathroom.
Julian had to admit, it looked a lot cleaner than he thought it would, considering where it had spent most of the day.
Give it here.
Cooper handed Julian the steak. Julian held it by the pointy end. It really was remarkable that something this big could fit all the way up a person's ass.
Grease, said Julian.
He felt the familiar pins and needles of magic coursing through his free arm as he concentrated. He waved his hand slowly over the shaft. As his hand passed it, he left a coating of thick, yellow liquid on the weapon. When the tip of the penis end was coated, the magic left his arm.
Lube,
said Cooper.
Good idea.
Bend over.
Be gentle.
Cooper got down on his hands and knees. Supporting himself with one hand, he used the other to lift the back of his loincloth. Julian shuddered. It wasn't all that long ago that sexually assaulting a half-orc was well beyond the boundaries of his imagination. He held his breath, stabilized himself with his free hand on Cooper's back, and placed the tip of the dildo on Cooper's hole.
Pardon me, sir?
The familiar British voice was accompanied by the flapping of wings.
Your absence has gone noticed, and... Oh, I'm terribly sorry.
This isn't what it looks like, said Julian.
I'm sure it looks like nothing I'm familiar with, sir, said Ravenous.
Dude,
said Cooper.
I need a certain amount of concentration for this. I can't loosen up with your fucking bird squawking in my ear.
Tell them we'll be out in just a minute, Ravenous.
Of course, sir, said the bird. Right away!
He flew off. In the end, the deed proved much easier than Julian had anticipated. That grease spell was amazing. Cooper and Julian stood up and brushed themselves off.
I trust this is a secret we'll both carry with us to the grave, said Julian.
Cooper nodded.
What happened to you two? Said Catherine as they entered the dining room. You fall in?
Cooper snorted.
Funny you should mention that, because Julian...
Shut up, Cooper,
said Julian. His nearly dying in a toilet was one more secret he'd like them both to take to the grave.
Gentlemen, said Millard, standing at the head of the table. Come, you must be hungry. Eat your soup before it cools. I trust everyone likes lamb.
Tim sat down and started immediately. Whatever his feelings toward his host, they were apparently set aside for hunger at the moment. Julian would have to wait a while for his appetite to return after having just stared into Cooper's dark abyss, but a chair to sit in was well appreciated. Cooper walked over to where Dave was sitting.
Your visit couldn't have come at a better time, Millard continued. I just want you all to know that we both put a lot of thought into this. Sweet Catherine and I finally decided that we wanted to spend the rest of eternity together.
Tim set his spoon down a notch harder than what proper decorum dictated was appropriate.
You mean you decided?
I beg your pardon, said Millard.
Cut the shit, said Tim. We all know you've got Catherine under your vampire mind control or whatever.
Julian forced some soup down his throat. It might yet come to a fight after all. At least that would solve his cough and piss problem. Cooper and Dave had stopped their discussion. All eyes in the room were either on Millard or Tim.
I assure you, young sir, said Millard. Nothing could be further from the truth.
I can think for myself, Tim, said Catherine. I know that, said Tim, slapping a hand down on the table. But right now...
Please, said Millard.
He stood up.
It's clear you have a special relationship to my Catherine. I owe you the truth.
Tim raised his eyebrows and relaxed his posture.
I'm listening.
Millard folded his hands and lowered his head.
It shames me to admit this, but there is some truth to what the halfling says. On the night I met Catherine, I used my vampiric power of glamour to seduce her.
I told you, said Tim.
It was unclear whom he was addressing.
I've been saying that the whole time.
But you must understand, said Millard, that it is only a temporary effect. It wore off after a few days. Beyond that, the choice to remain here was her own.
He's right, Tim, said Catherine. I chose to stay here, and I chose to become a vampire. Think about it. Wealth, eternal youth, no more worries.
No, said Tim. I can't.
You can't do anything about it, said Catherine.
I think that's what's really bothering you. You're a control freak. You always have been. Even here in this imaginary world we're stuck in, you've been trying to take responsibility for everyone.
You need to let people you care about make choices for themselves, even if you think they're making a mistake. You need to just let go.
But he...
Tim stopped.
Shit. I don't know. Maybe you're right.
He leaned back in his chair.
You know what? Fuck it. I'm done. What's done is done, right?
He looked around the room. Everyone responded uncertainly with shrugs, confused nods, and a general sense of relief. They might not have to fight to the death after all.
If this makes you happy, said Tim, then who am I to tell you what to do? Congratulations, and I'm happy for you both.
Catherine smiled.
Do you really mean that?
Tim smiled back.
You know what, Cat? I really think I do.
For a half-elf and a halfling, said Millard, you two have a most peculiar relationship. You must tell me more about it.
You wouldn't believe us if we did, said Tim.
There you go, you stingy bastard,
Cooper said to Dave.
Everybody is happy as pigs and shit. Can you spare a fucking heal spell now?
Dave looked over at Tim. Tim nodded.
I heal thee, said Dave,
touching Cooper on the arm. Cooper leaned his head back and closed his eyes. He groaned as his teeth worked their way back to their proper positions, and his swollen lips returned to normal. When it was over, he sighed. The sound that followed was a clatter of wood on stone and a fart. Julian's heart skipped a beat. Millard stood up.
What was that?
He was smiling. Julian scanned the table. Millard was the only one smiling. Catherine looked annoyed and disgusted. Chaz just looked exhausted. Everyone else, everyone who knew, looked crestfallen and terrified.
Sorry,
said Cooper. He looked at Julian.
It was the grease. It just fell out.
He bent over to pick it up.
Cooper!
Julian shouted. He sprang up out of his chair and darted to where Cooper had been standing and dropped to his knees. They were out of Millard's field of vision, but they couldn't stay that way for long. Julian grabbed the dildo stake to keep Cooper from standing up with it.
Is everything okay down there?
Asked Millard.
Whatever you do, whispered Julian, keep the pointy end hidden.
Cooper looked confused, so Julian explained further.
He mustn't know that we came here to kill him. We can still get out of this alive if he thinks we're just a couple of homosexuals.
Cooper nodded. The two of them slowly rose to their feet.
What the hell is going? Catherine paused briefly when she saw the giant wooden penis in Cooper's hand. What the fuck? I'm sorry, said Julian as diplomatically as he could. This is... What is the meaning of this? Roared Millard. Julian found it odd that Millard wasn't shouting at him and Cooper. His anger seemed to be directed at Catherine. The look on Catherine's face suggested that she found it just as odd. Millard's voice dropped down to a whimper.
You told them, didn't you?
It took Catherine a moment to work out Millard's accusation, but finally the light of understanding shone in her eyes.
Is that what this is about?
She turned on Tim.
Real fucking mature, Tim, she said. I told you that in confidence, so that you wouldn't worry about me.
Tim looked as confused as his sister had until the implications finally clicked for him as well.
Hang on a second, said Tim, standing up. This didn't have anything to do with your erectile dysfunction. If you must know, we were going to.
It's ours, Julian said. Cooper and I are gay for each other. There, I've said it.
All eyes in the room shifted from Julian to Cooper.
It's true, said Cooper. We're total queers.
Julian elbowed him in the leg, but it seemed to have no effect.
Nothing I love more than elf man ass. Isn't that right, honey?
Julian buried his face in his hands, too embarrassed to be scared. Millard fell back into his chair.
I've never been so humiliated.
Millard, sweetie, Catherine said in as comforting a tone as Julian had ever heard her speak.
These guys are insensitive jerks, but...
Silence!
Millard pointed at Catherine.
I'll deal with you once I've dealt with your friends.
His voice was changing, something between human and the growl of a bear. His eyes turned red and his upper and lower canine teeth grew long and sharp. He turned his head slowly toward Julian and Cooper, all the while dragging his elongated fingernails across the tabletop, leaving deep grooves in the wood.
You think it's funny?
Millard growled at them.
You come into a man's house. The man feeds you.
He stepped out from his place at the head of the table, counterclockwise, toward the other end, where Julian and Cooper stood.
Gives you drink.
He grabbed Stuart's goblet, still half full of wine, and threw it against the wall.
Extends you every courtesy.
Snot shot out of Cooper's nostrils as he failed to suppress a giggle. Everyone looked at him.
What?
Cooper said defensively.
Come on. Considering the circumstances, it was a poor choice of...
Shut up, damn you!
Shouted Millard, grabbing a hefty iron candlestick.
For once, I wish you would just shut up!
He hurled the candlestick at Cooper's head. Cooper raised his arms to block it, but it flew right between them and hit him in the face. The dildo clattered to the floor.
Ow!
Said Cooper, rubbing his cheek.
Not cool, man. That could have gone to my eye.
The candlestick had left a nasty mark on Cooper's face. Julian guessed that it might have amounted to at least 6 or 7 hit points worth of damage. Millard stepped back and gasped. He wrapped his cape tightly around his chest. His eyes were focused on the dildo on the floor, but no longer at the penis end.
You sneaking little cowards, he said. It's not enough you come into my house and mock me, but you sought to murder me in my sleep as well.
In his sleep, Julian said to himself. Why hadn't that occurred to any of us? The horror on Millard's face slowly changed into an evil grin as he turned his head to Catherine.
Oh, sweet Catherine, we shall feast well tonight.
He lunged forward at Cooper.
Millard!
Catherine cried.
No!
Millard hit Cooper like a truck, and the two of them flew about 6 feet through the air before tumbling to the stone floor together. When they stopped rolling, Millard straddled Cooper's chest, pinning his massive arms to the floor. Vampires must be stronger than they look, because Cooper appeared to be losing the struggle against what appeared to be a relatively weak-looking man. Millard's irises flashed yellow as he moved his mouth toward the pulsing arteries in Cooper's neck. Julian picked up the dildo and clubbed Millard over the head with the penis end. Millard hissed in pain.
Julian! Tim shouted. What are you doing? Use the...
Whatever else Tim said after that was lost to Julian as Millard backhanded him in the chest, sending him in a full backflip to belly flop on the floor. Damn, that was stupid. The next couple of seconds were just a blur of vision and noise. The first comprehensible thing Julian heard was,
I'm really angry.
Julian forced his eyes to focus. The battle seemed to have taken a turn. Cooper had hulked out, and he and Millard slowly circled one another. Julian hadn't expected to do a whole lot of damage to a vampire by clubbing him in the head, but he'd hit the guy pretty hard,
and was sure he'd seen a small splatter of blood and heard a crack of breaking skull. By now, with Millard's back to him, Julian couldn't make out that even a follicle of hair was out of place on the vampire's head. Dave and Tim stood back helplessly, their eyes darting back and forth between the two combatants and Catherine. Catherine appeared to be suffering from some kind of headache. Her eyes were closed, and she had one hand clapped over her mouth. Chaz stood well back from everyone else and began to strum the first few notes of Holly Holy. Stuart was... where was Stuart? The answer came flying in from Julian's right periphery.
Yah!
Stuart screamed as he ran. That bald bastard could move. He flew through the air, his arms and legs flailing around too fast to keep up with. He might have had six of each from what Julian could tell. He assaulted Millard with a flurry of elbows, knees, and fists. Catherine dropped to one knee, cradling her head in her hands. Her canine teeth grew sharp and pointed. Her tongue ran down them and across her lips. Julian had seen enough vampire movies to recognize her struggle between loyalties and her thirst. He couldn't do anything about her choosing between her brother or her sire, but he might be able to use her thirst to their advantage, keep her from having to pick a side. Julian pointed a finger at Catherine. "Horse!" he shouted over the sounds of Stuart beating the shit out of Millard. A white pony appeared before Catherine. Its coat shimmered like a beacon in the gloom. It offered a friendly whinny, as if to say, "Thank you for calling me into existence. How may I be of service?" Without the slightest hesitation, Catherine wrapped her arms around its neck and bit deep into its throat. Stuart actually had Millard on the retreat. The vampire backed away slowly as the monk continued his bare-handed assault. When there was nowhere to back up to, Millard made his move. He grabbed Stuart by the throat, slammed him against the stone wall, and threw his stunned, limp body out the window. Dave gasped.
"Fuck me," said Tim. "He just killed Stuart!"
Cooper had taken the opportunity to pick up the dildo stake. His right hand was wrapped around the penis end, and he brandished the pointy end at Millard.
"Finish this!" Tim shouted at Cooper. "The rules say that a wooden stake through the heart will instantly slay a vampire!"
That would have been a nice piece of information to be privy to a few minutes ago. Millard spat in Tim's direction, but he didn't take his eyes off of Cooper. The vampire's hair was disheveled and his face was bruised. He was even bleeding from the lip a little. Stuart's bare-handed assault had apparently done more real damage than Julian clubbing him over the head.
"Fuck you!"
Cooper roared as he closed the distance between himself and Millard. He grabbed the vampire by the throat and plunged the stake deep into his gut. Millard hissed and coughed up a gob of dark red blood.
"His heart, stupid!" said Tim.
"Do I look like a fucking doctor to you?"
Cooper shouted back. Millard reached under Cooper's arms and pulled himself up to his neck. He bit down hard.
"Ow!"
Cooper screamed as Millard's fingernails tore deep gashes into his back.
"Look, I'm sorry your dick doesn't work, but I... fuck, that hurts!"
Cooper's skin began to grow paler as sweat poured down his back. His ratty dark hair turned gray. All the while, the cuts and bruises on Millard's face vanished. The vampire's own gut seemed to be slowly forcing the stake out. Cooper pulled the stake all the way out. A heart shot wasn't going to be possible as the two were practically hugging one another. He shoved the stake up through the vampire's left armpit. The tip poked out of Millard's shoulder and carved a gash from cheek to temple. Millard screamed and lost his hold on Cooper's neck. The gash on his face closed itself up, but his left arm went limp. Cooper broke away from the vampire's right arm as well and stumbled backward. When Julian got a look at Cooper's face, he appeared to have aged 10 years. His eyes were sunken, his cheeks hollow, his sweaty brow stretched taut against his half-orc skull.
"What happened to you?" asked Julian.
"I'm all right," said Cooper. I just need a minute."
Millard hadn't appeared to be in any better shape than Cooper, but in the brief moment Julian had taken his eyes off of him, he had recuperated far better. The vampire still leaned against the stone windowsill on his good arm and looked as though it was an effort for him to remain standing. The bottom half of his otherwise pale face was covered in a thick layer of Cooper's blood. It dripped all over his fine clothes. He bared his fangs at Julian in a wicked grin that sent shivers down his slender elven spine. Julian's eyes traveled down the length of the vampire's crippled arm down to the hand. The fingers started to wiggle.
"Shit!" said Julian. "Cooper! He's getting his strength back! Hurry and finish him off!"
Cooper shambled forward, looking as if it was all he could do to keep upright and keep the stake in his hand. Millard smiled as Cooper approached him. His left arm still hung limply at his side, but he opened and closed his left hand a couple of times, as if just to demonstrate that he was able to. Each time he did it, he winced a little less. Cooper wasn't in any shape for this. He'd be dead before he even got an attack in, but still, he shuffled forward.
"Come on!"
taunted Millard. His voice was like a wounded bear shouting through an electric fan.
"You filthy, pathetic beast! I'll rip your... Ah!"
Millard's head jerked back as he screamed. He had something around his neck. It looked like... it was an elbow. Quick as a wink, the vampire's left arm disappeared behind him. Millard's howl of agony wasn't quite enough to drown out the sound of his shoulder re-snapping. Stuart poked his head out from behind the writhing vampire.
"Come on, man!" he shouted. "Finish this bastard!"
Cooper mustered up what little strength he had left and sped up his shuffle. He held the stake up and prepared to strike.
"Make it count!" shouted Tim.
As Cooper shoved the stake at him, Millard's body exploded into a cloud of red mist. Stuart fell forward into Cooper, catching the stake in his gut. Cooper fell backward, landing hard on the stone floor with Stuart on top of him. 6 inches of sharpened wood protruded from Stuart's back.
"Oh my God!" said Dave. "You killed Stuart!"
Cooper groaned in response. The groan grew louder, as if he were trying to awaken from a bad dream, until it was cut short by a quick gush of vomit.
"He's not dead," said Tim.
"How can you be sure?"
asked Dave.
"I can't, but you can. Go fix him!"
Julian, Dave, and Tim pulled Stuart's body off of Cooper. Julian wrapped the corner of his serape around his hand before gripping the penis end of the stake. With one swift motion, he pulled it out of Stuart. Stuart's body shuddered, and blood spilled out of his mouth.
"Make it quick," said Tim.
Dave licked his lips and put his hand on Stuart's head.
"I heal thee!"
For a moment, nothing happened. Then Stuart's body started to convulse, and he coughed up the remaining blood in his mouth. When his eyes opened, everyone exhaled at once and stood up to let him writhe around on the floor alone.
"He'll be fine," said Dave.
Julian helped Cooper to his feet. He was far easier to pull up than he should have been.
"You all right?"
"Cold,"
said Cooper, hugging himself.
"You look like shit," said Tim.
"Fuck you,"
said Cooper, though there was little spirit in his voice. Dave laid a hand on Cooper's unusually bony shoulder.
"I heal thee!"
The gaping bite wound on Cooper's neck closed up, and his shoulders hunched with the ecstasy of being healed. But even all patched up, he appeared far from whole. A tiny mouse fart squeaked out of him.
"What's wrong with him?"
asked Julian.
"Constitution damage," said Chaz. "I'd bet anything."
Having left their equipment outside, there was no way to confirm Chaz's diagnosis, but it seemed reasonable enough. If anyone would know, it would be him. Julian noticed that everything he was looking at was tainted pink. The mist from the vampire's exploding body still hung stagnantly in the air. It neither dissipated nor coalesced into droplets. It merely hung in the air, as if waiting. It made Julian feel uneasy.
"I'm sorry about Millard," Tim said to his sister.
Catherine smiled at him. Her fangs, while not as pronounced as Millard's had been, were still unnerving.
"Don't be," she said.
She shifted her gaze from Tim to, well, to nothing in particular. She just stared into the heart of the mist cloud. Her irises flashed yellow.
"Millard, honey, don't be gone long. I can't eat all this by myself."
A cavernous laugh echoed all around them. It seemed to come from nowhere and everywhere all at once. Julian could feel the laugh inside his ears, in his nose, even in his eyes.
"You miserable little worms,"
said Millard's disembodied voice.
"You didn't think you could come into my house and destroy me so easily, did you?"
The pink mist swirled around them. Cooper staggered, and Julian put an arm around his waist to support him.
"When I return, I'll be completely restored, unlike your orc friend here."
A higher concentration of mist formed a pink whirlwind around Cooper. He feebly attempted to wave it away.
"Don't worry, though,"
the mist laughed as it spoke.
"He won't be nearly so weak once he is reborn."
A wave of pink mist rushed toward Dave.
"And you, my good holy man."
The mist swirled around Dave's beard. Dave waved his arms around like he was being attacked by bees, but it made no difference to the mist.
How much more healing will your god grant you before the well runs dry?
The densest part of the mist abandoned Dave's beard and flew over to Chaz.
Did I tell you to stop playing?
Chaz nervously gripped his lute and picked up where he'd left off on the song. The air cleared as all the mist in the room concentrated itself before Catherine. Pink darkened to red as it took a vague human form, but was still nothing close to solid.
Sweet Catherine!
The cloud form looked down at her.
Wait for me. I shan't be long.
Catherine opened her mouth to kiss the head of the cloud. Just as the tip of her tongue made contact, the form exploded back into a pink vapor. The mist then took the shape of an arrow, or a rocket, or some kind of pointed missile, and flew down the hall and out of sight.
He's going back to his coffin, said Dave. He'll be back to full strength in a matter of minutes if we don't get to him. We have to destroy it.
Catherine moved like a striking cobra. One stride off the floor, the next off the wall. A backflip through the air and landed on her feet between Dave and the hallway. She hissed at Dave and bared her fangs. Dave stepped back.
Catherine, he said. I'm sorry we have to do this. I know you're confused, but...
No, said Catherine. I won't let you kill him. He's been nothing but gentle to me this whole time, and...
She took a moment to glare at everyone in the room.
You are the ones who've been acting like assholes. It's no wonder he wants to kill you all.
She's right,
said Cooper in a raspy voice.
She's what?
Said Dave. Cooper lowered the giant dildo in his hand.
It was an unfortunate misunderstanding.
Julian looked at Cooper quizzically. The big guy didn't have the brain power to be plotting a ruse.
Cooper, said Dave, look at what he's done to you. You look like somebody's deformed grandfather.
The guy's sensitive about his limp dick, and we attacked him with a dildo,
said Cooper.
I'd have attacked us too, if I were in his place.
Cooper's right, said Tim. We should just leave before he, recharges or whatever.
I don't believe I'm hearing this, said Dave. We're so close. Tim, this guy killed your sister. Cooper, you were so intent on killing him that you concealed a 2-foot wooden dick in your ass all day. Think of the experience points we could get. Think of the treasure he must have hidden around here somewhere. We could have the money to pay off a wizard and get back home. Isn't that what we wanted? What about the plan?
We'll find another way, said Tim. Catherine is right. Millard's been a decent guy. Catherine's decision to let him turn her was hers to make. We've acted like dicks.
Dave sighed in resignation.
We'll just go back to the Horse Head for now, Tim continued. Give us some time. Send an apology and...
A howl of pain exploded out from the hallway and echoed off the stone walls of the dining room. A second later, it was joined by Catherine, also howling in pain. She cupped her hands over her temples and dropped to her knees. As quickly as it had started, the howl stopped, and Catherine fell into a catatonic trance.